Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
Is that War Rocket Ajax? To bring back his body?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to War Rocket Ajax. This is the internet's most destructive comic book and pop culture podcast, and we are your two very exhausted hosts. My name is Chris Sims. Sitting directly to my left in a National Tourist baseball cap, blinking those baby blues at me, is Matt Wilson. Matt, how are you today?
Chris, we put in our time at SC Comic Con in Greenville, South Carolina. You're going to hear me say that repeatedly throughout the show.
A lot. Quite a bit.
Because what we're going to be doing in this episode, we went around to some of our best pals, their various tables at the show. We talked to them a little bit. We had some fun chats. And we're going to share those with you now.
Some chats that go wild on us pretty quick. By the time we get to Rico Renzi, we're the ones who are getting a little weird, I think.
Rico is playing defense through most of the interview. Yeah.
Here's who we talked to. But we talked to a great bunch of people. We talked to Jeremy Whitley, friend of the show. We talked to Rico Renzi for the first time ever on the show.
First time ever on the show.
I love Rico.
We got him back on for a real interview.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We got Alex Smith for the first time on the show, who's a good friend of ours.
Great artist.
Great artist. He's going to be talking about Bob Jones University. We had Dorothy Smith, the Dottie McDrawpants.
Yep, she talks about Stardew Valley.
Yeah, we get into some deep Stardew Valley discussion. And then we wrap things up with our boy Kyle Starks, who would only talk to us for about 4 minutes.
People came to the table.
Because the franchise is doing big business.
The franchise, Kyle Starks.
Yeah, the main event, Kyle Starks.
Rick and Morty franchise, Kyle Starks. So, you're going to hear those interviews right now.
You don't want to talk a little bit now?
We'll do it after. We'll do a little after segment.
Okay.
So, we're going to do those interviews up front. Then after the interviews, Chris and I are going to talk a little bit about the show and maybe some other stuff we have going on.
Yeah.
So, come back for that.
Probably have a normal ass episode next week.
Normal ass. We're Rocket Ajax at SC Comic Con. We're here with Jeremy Whitley. Jeremy, how's your show been?
It's been good. It's a great show. I love coming here every year. It's very important to me. I love South Carolina Comic Con. Woo!
That was like
jumping
a
Jeff Farmer.
That was a
yep
babyface promo on a con.
Everybody out here, everybody coming out here, having a good time. All these people, all the good people, and I'm gonna fight real hard to be your writer of Unstoppable Wasp.
I love these Clemson Tigers, and nobody but these Clemson Tigers.
I don't think Greenville is a second-rate Asheville at all. I love Sully Steamers.
I love their Tupelo Honey. I love their Universal Joint. I love their Biscuit Head.
I'll say this. South Carolina's Greenville is far superior to North Carolina's Greenville.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I've been to that one. I don't do a con there.
Hey, Jeremy, how was your ride over to the con?
Well, I had a dude with me. He kind of went on about some stuff for a while. But, you know, it was all right. We also listened to some Run the Jewels.
We definitely did play The Boys Are Back in Town. I rode over with Jeremy is the joke, everybody. I rode over from Dartmouth, Jeremy. I don't know. I did not go on about anything. How dare you? How dare you?
Hey, anytime Thin Lizzy is involved, that's a good ride.
We were having some discussion about The Boys Are Back in Town and whether or not the other characters that show up in The Boys Are Back in Town are actually boys.
Jeremy made the foolish statement that he thinks the boys that are back in town are the boys of summer.
Like baseball players?
That's what I told him.
I mean, potentially, because, like, They do say in the song that the boys being back in town means that summer is coming.
I thought it meant that they are getting out of jail.
No, see, that's what we were trying to figure out, where the boys are returning from. And I just said it was like, you don't ask where the boys have been.
They were in jail.
The boys are like the Wild Hunt. They come out of the mist.
They have been imprisoned. Maybe they went to prison. They went to jail for what they did last summer. They got like a 10-month sentence. They're getting out.
I think the real interesting thing about The Boys Are Back in Town to me is that that song has an intended audience that's not the person listening to it. Like, there's a conversation being had that you're only hearing one side of. And, like, you're, like, stopping somebody outside of somewhere to be like, hey, do you know the boys are back in town?
Yes, who just got back today.
You remember all these adventures we had with the boys previously? Well, they're back.
Look, we could keep talking about analyzing in a very academic way.
The boys are the cowboys from the cowboy song, which they always play in concert before they play The Boys Are Back in Town.
I don't know, man. That's deep.
So, Jeremy, you write comic books, right?
Sometimes, but I'm not analyzing The Boys Are Back in Town.
Well, I wanted to get past that analysis for 1 second to talk about the real issue, which is that it was your birthday yesterday.
It was.
Jeremy, happy birthday.
Thank you, Matt.
I want to know if there's anywhere else you'd rather be than at SC Comic-Con for your birthday.
I'm telling you, it was my birthday, and there is nowhere else I'd rather be than SC Comic-Con right here in Greenville, South Carolina. Woo!
You know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan's here.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan is here, and we know this because he's not far from us.
We're constantly hearing, like, all day long.
That's more. Yeah, that's less Hacksaw Jim Duggan. That's...
I think that was like, that was, what is it, the dozens? That would have been for the dozens. It should be, ho!
There you go.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan is snapping on people over there.
Yeah, he's telling your mama jokes.
He's signing 2x4s.
He is signing 2x4s.
Which is amazing, because I bet he charges $40 for them.
It is never a mystery whether Hacksaw Jim Duggan is at a convention or not, because you can hear him.
They're not actual full 2x4s. They're like 1x2s.
I bet he charges $80.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
2x40.
There's some kids here who are looking at some comics.
Oh, they're gone.
Okay.
Lost
drifting. They're drifting.
They're like a princeless.
They do like princeless. The kids love the princeless. Oh, now they're drifting again. All right.
All right. So, I do wonder this, Jeremy, because you got a lot of like all ages friendly comics. You got a lot of all ages friendly comics.
I do.
Is there a certain thing that tends to catch the eye more than something else? Is it the My Little Pony that brings people in, or is it Princeless that brings people in?
I think My Little Pony, I think, brings more people to the table because I think there's an instant, like, they see it and they're like, oh, I know that thing. That is a thing that I know. But I think, like, people who see Princeless and, like, are attracted by that are more likely to buy it, like, because there's an excitement attached to that. In a lot of cases, like, somebody got one volume at one point and then they're not sure how to get any of the other volumes because they're like, they're not at Barnes & Noble half the time. So, you know, they come over and they're like, oh, this is that thing that I got one volume of like last time I came to this Comic-Con 3 years ago. And now like I need to buy 6 more, which is always, that's always a pleasant moment. And wanting to buy like 4, 5, 6 more comics.
That's good because there is no greater distance in the universe than the amount of space between I recognize that and I want to buy that at a comic book convention.
Yeah, I think a lot more like ponies I end up selling are parents going, oh, that is the thing I can give my kids. Let me.
So the pony sales are more gift related. The Princeless sales are more, oh, I like this and I want to buy it related.
Yeah, I think I sell more copies of Princeless to people who are likely to read that copy of Princeless than people who are going to, like, throw it at a kid.
Who was it? You were telling the Vampirella story about the guy who was like, I own all of these and I haven't read the comics.
Yeah, he hadn't read any of the comics. I think I left this part out when I told you about it last night because he hadn't read the comics because comics are so hard to follow because you have to read the Avengers, and then, like, you have to go over and read X-Men, and you have to read this issue of Wolverine because that ties into it, or you won't know what's happening. And I was like, literally, Vampirella is the only book you have to read to follow Vampirella. It doesn't tie into anything else. I haven't seen him yet, even though he said that he would be back today, or asked if I would be here today.
Oh, anytime someone tells you they'll be coming back later, that is a lie.
Well, I don't just think wait to buy anything.
Jeremy, just wait till you cross over with Lady Death. That's all I'm saying.
Boundless.
I can't wait. I cannot wait for that to happen.
You've written Vampirella. Your tenure on Vampirella is over. What is your next 90s Batgirl comic going to be?
Either She, Purgatory, Lady Death, Lady Demon?
I feel like...
Lady Justice?
If I do any more, I'm going to have to fight Teenie for them. So, like... And I don't know that that is a fight I can win because she knows, like, magic.
You can share. Like, she does a run, then you do a run, then you just trade off.
Yeah, we'll each do a run of something, and then we'll cross over, and then we'll switch at the end of the crossover.
You'll both get on Witchblade at different times. And...
But Witchblade! That's, we'll just rename it so we can both have him.
W-H-I-C-H, Blade.
Which Blade? Oh, it's the Jeremy Blade, or is it the Teeny Blade?
This Blade or that Blade?
Yeah. That's Blade, the future of comics.
I'm going to pitch a comic to him. It's called This Blade.
What if we pitched a comic...
Question, finally.
What if we pitched a comic to Image called Vapor Blade? Yeah,
it's the first superhero you can vape. He's a daywalker, you can vape.
You can vape him all day long. Oh, we do have some pony... Some action on the pony comics here.
Yeah. We got a princess.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
How's it going?
All right, we got a sale happening. So I think we're going to move along from Jeremy Whitley. Jeremy, thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you in a couple hours to ride back home.
All right.
Bye, buddy.
Still here, SC Comic Con. Alex Smith. We're here. We're doing it.
The best kept secret in South Carolina, Alex Smith.
You're working on some art right now. Tell us what's up.
I'm drawing... K-9 from Doctor Who in a little TARDIS book. It's... Can I say bad words?
Yes.
Listen to the show, Alex.
Well, I don't know, man. Maybe... Yeah. I mean, it's fucking dope. That's what I was... You know what's funny? Is I curse in front of babies way too often. And very, very rarely do their parents call me out on it. I always feel bad. And then, like, I apologize if they get a look on their face, but...
Let me tell you who else does that.
Who does it?
My lovely wife.
Yeah?
Oh.
Yeah?
Let me tell you who else does that. Your lovely podcasting partner.
I have a type.
We were talking about your missus last night, me and Andrew Van, because he was explaining to his girlfriend how I accidentally sort of introduced them to doing stuff together.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Greenville-Asheville improv crossover now. And they, like, the Greenville improv crew will come up to Asheville and do a show, and the Asheville teams will come down here and do shows sometimes.
You're welcome.
It's very good. I like the Alchemy Improv Theater down here. It's real cool. Real nice.
Yeah, it's great. And there's a good pizza place across the street, too, in case anybody's wondering. Not bad.
This is the local Rex section of the show.
Local Rex. I don't have any checks. I don't do anything. My mental health sucks.
Do you have a cool babyface promo to cut on Greenville like Jeremy Whitley did?
A babyface promo to cut on Greenville?
You should cut a heel promo on Greenville.
A heel promo on Greenville? I'll tell you what. You listen up, Greenville. You don't know who the fuck you're dealing with because you got too many damn universities in this place. I don't give a shit about learning. I care about beating asses.
I think at least one of the universities here you're not going to learn anything at.
Oh, are you referring to Bob Jones University?
That would be the one.
I drove by and flipped it off this morning, and my wife got mad at me.
We drove by and flipped it off last night.
It's the most beige set of buildings that ever existed.
It is a truly awful bit of architecture.
There's so much money in that school, and it just, like, it irks me that a religion can have that much money to teach people. To educate people, quote unquote. Like, so I'm going hard in the paint, gonna like make everybody mad. Should we talk about wrestling?
It turned into a heel promo on Bob Jones University.
Heel promo on Bob Jones University.
All right, Alex, let's talk about the table here. The table setup.
Yeah, what you want to know?
Because we talked to Jeremy about this.
Okay.
What are the things? people are most likely to be like, I want this, and then they buy it. And what are the things that just, like, draw people in, but that draw people in, but, like, it's not necessarily what they want to buy. They just bring people to the table.
All right. So, to answer the second question first, that Andre the Giant, Dr. Dre the Chronic mashup, everyone loves it. Only one person has ever bought it. And I've had the original in the book, too, for like $75. And it's an 11 by 17 for $75. And people are like, this is dope! And then they walk away.
It's a very good Andre. It's very reminiscent of that gif where Andre... it's that much-shared gif where Andre's going like, no, no! One of my favorite gifs of all time.
That's a good one. I think Chris is actually the only person who's ever got all three jokes or all three references on the poster, because almost nobody gets the Dr. Dre reference. And then, like, if someone looks at it, they're like, oh, Andre the Giant, I love The Princess Bride. And I'm like, yeah, that's my favorite movie, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. Like, it's got that big old 80s WWF belt back there.
That's a belt. That's a belt design, my dude.
It's good stuff, man. I love that. I love that belt. I need to bring it back.
I had a dream that WWE unveiled a new title belt. And it was like an old-fashioned belt, and the crowd went wilder than they've ever gone.
Yeah, their belts are ugly now, except for the IC title.
I have terrible dreams. Terrible dreams that I hate.
Jordan D. White, on my other podcast, Sailor Business, said that he enjoyed having nightmares because it was like a free horror movie. And that is the most buck wild, ridiculous shit I've ever heard in my life.
I'm having a conniption over here.
Yeah, that's what life without an anxiety disorder is like. You look forward to nightmares.
Yeah.
All right. What's the big item that people are like, I have to have this, I'm buying it, and then they just buy it.
It's a kind of a tie between two things. I have a set of hand done and either Copic or watercolor shaded profile portrait sketch cards of superheroes and stuff. People really like those. I sold a whole set of Excalibur to my buddy yesterday. It was awesome. And then I have a print of General Leia Organa from Empire Strikes Back that I donate part of the proceeds to the National Bipolar Association in her honor. And everybody loves those. I'm down to one.
They look good.
Thank you, sir.
They're very good. Alex, you're a good guy, man. Dorothy, you're also great. Dorothy's also here.
Hi, how's it going?
It's Dorothy Dottie McDropants is what all the podcast boys call it.
You were quietly showing off that you were going to be playing Stardew Valley.
I was like, look, Chris, I'm going to play Stardew Valley. Let's play together.
And I'm gonna relax. I'm going to feel relaxed and nice.
Here was my question. How did you know that I've been playing Stardew Valley all weekend? Did I talk about it?
Alex has a big mouth. Have you not met him?
You talk about it on the show constantly.
Yeah.
It's very soothing.
Yeah.
It is. Like, the best.
She was playing to curb her social anxiety yesterday, and I'm like, you should go hang out with Chris Sims because he does the same thing to curb his anxiety.
Mine is like, I need a quiet... Okay, here's what happened. Last night, we went out to a bar called The Pump House.
We did.
And
The Pump House. When you were in The Pump House, when you got the pump, was it like you were coming over and over constantly in the gym?
No.
You got the pump? It's not like that for me either. I don't know what's up with Arnold.
Wow. Okay.
Deep cut. Sorry.
yikes, Alex. So we went to this bar, and it was kind of a country bar, and I had a few drinks, and then I...
How many is a few?
A lot.
Remember how you brought me a Gatorade this morning?
Yeah, I brought Chris a Gatorade because I figured he's going to need it this morning.
Yeah, I did. So after I went back to the hotel, I went over to my room, I put on an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, and I played Stardew Valley for 45 minutes.
Which episode?
I can't remember.
You can't remember? Was Q in it?
That's the kind of night it was.
Sounds like a good night.
I literally cannot remember what I watched. It was good, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of good ones.
I'll say this, though. I had fun at the Pump House, but it has that South Carolina thing where people could still smoke in a bar.
Can't do that in Charleston.
You can't do that in Charleston?
No, you can't even... I think you can't even smoke on the street in Charleston anymore.
Well, you could...
designated area.
You could smoke in the Pump House. And I can't... As I was driving home, I realized how much smoke I smelled. And that was the low light of the rest of my night, was smelling smoke on myself for the rest of the night. I cannot be in a bar where people smoke anymore. The end.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's wicked gross. Like, and you, like, you ever, like, be around somebody vaping and they get all upset when you're, like, you get a, like, that's gross look on your face? I'm like, dude, that shit just came out of your fucking lungs.
Hey, it's harmless vapor.
Hey, don't talk bad about our new industry that we're getting into.
Oh, you guys vaping?
No, we're gonna be vape magnates. You didn't have not heard last week's show yet.
No, I haven't. I think the last one I listened to was that sweet Kyle Starks.
You're looking at a couple of future vapor barons right here.
Ooh, you guys selling that CBD? Get that CBD money.
That's right.
Get them gummy bears.
What? Okay, one more quick thing about Stardew Valley. Because I haven't, like, I'm familiar with it, but I haven't seen, like, a lot of the, like, cultural zeitgeist about it. Is this, like, a commonly known thing that Stardew Valley is, like, therapeutic to play?
Yeah.
Do they promote it that way?
No.
Why not?
I don't think they need to.
But, like, a lot of people, like, here's the thing. Because there's two kinds of Stardew Valley players, right? There's, like, me, I'm like, I'm going to have my little farm, I'm going to grow some parsnips, I'm going to help out this community center, I'm going to, like, romance, who am I going after in this game?
Go after Abby, she's adorable.
She was my first game. Leah is who I'm going after.
Oh, I married Leah.
She gives you a statue?
She's the best wife. I love Leah. Yeah. She's my wife.
What's the girl that I married?
You married Abby.
I did marry Abby. She's awesome. Because she just started talking to me about video games or comic books or something, and I was like, nope, that's the one.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She has purple hair.
So, but there's another kind of Stardew Valley player, and that's the kind of Stardew Valley player that's like, where do I put these sprinklers to maximize profits? Wait, how do I get the crop rotation to line up to exactly 28 days to maximize everything?
So there's an OCD style of play.
Yeah, there's like a min-max style, whereas I just want, like, I want to live out my maladaptive fantasy of going and living in a lighthouse.
See, I would play exactly the way you're describing.
I'm hybrid of that, though, because I have to feel like I'm achieving and doing something worthwhile, like doing the best that I can do, or why am I even here? So
this is why I haven't played Stardew Valley, because I will not turn off Stardew Valley until I think I have maximized my potential.
Yeah, and it doesn't end.
Exactly. That's why I hate games that don't end.
Listen, the rotating day, like, I don't know what the word is, but every day is like, what, 12 minutes or something?
It's about a third of an episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, so you have 10, 12 minutes for the day. And then, like, if you don't go to sleep, you'll pass out, and then you have to pay Jojamart to wake you up, which you don't want to do because fuck Jojamart. But they trick you into doing more and more stuff because you get to the end of the day, and you're like, oh, I forgot to do this, this, and this, I got to do it tomorrow. I got 75 hours in that game. Because I got it, like, right when I got my Switch, when I was also... I had a real bad case of the Dementors, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And, like, I was hooked on that Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, man.
I summon your Patronus.
I got the dopest Patronus.
I gotta tell you, man. Like, I play games like that, and I'm like, if I don't do everything that I think I should be doing, I'm like, I failed.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the difference between, like, my style of play and Dorothy's style of play. Dorothy, you just said you were on year 7.
Yes, in my first save. I have 2 saves.
Yeah. I'm on my 3rd game where I get to year 3 and stop. Because once I have Grandpa's approval...
You're good.
I'm good.
That's all you need. I just want to explore so many things. Like, I want to check out the mines and the desert, and I want to...
At the bottom of that desert mine.
I wanted to, like, cook all of the meals, and I wanted to, like, catch all of the fish, so...
I want to make all the friends.
Yeah.
That's what I'm working on.
Everyone in town loves me on my first save.
You know how you can make up friends mad quick? There's a little bit of luck to it.
Okay.
Coffee. It's an artisan good, and no one hates it.
That's very good. I was just giving people their stuff on their birthdays. I was like, what's a favorite thing that you love, and it's your birthday? Take it. I get you 2 hearts in one day.
What's the name of the new one they're doing? Have you guys seen it?
Oh, yeah, there is a new Stardew Valley.
It's either fantasy or sci-fi, and I can't remember which.
Concerned Ape is doing it. It's basically like Hogwarts and Hogsmeade, like that whole area. Like, it's that sort of thing, like witchcraft and a nice little village.
Boy, that is day one, right? Son, game of the year.
Wait, it's going to be so good. All right, so excited.
We've done enough free advertising. We're going to call this...
Vape Stardew Valley?
Stardew Vapey?
All right, we're done. We're done here.
Stardew Vapors, I think, sounds better. Stardew Vapors.
Stardew Vapors.
star,
totally harmless Stardew vapors.
Star juice.
Star juice.
Yeah, juice. You gotta get that juice if you're gonna rip that cotton.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking with us. This has been therapeutic in its own way. Number one Rick and Morty boy, Kyle Starks. We're event. Here with him.
The main event, Kyle Starks.
The franchise. Hollywood, Kyle Starks. In the house. South Carolina, Greenville.
He's got... Could you do a promo in Greenville?
Greenville's fantastic.
That's a very Jeremy Whitley style promo.
Well, look. Until it's over, they're all great. I'm just here to make money and make friends and put smiles on faces. And I'm succeeding.
Kyle, I want to close the loop with you. I asked you about it. In person. What?
I said, yeah, man. What did you think I said?
I don't know.
I said, uh-oh.
I just said, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. So, last time we talked to you on the show, you were headed to Mexico City. Now you've been there and you've returned. I want to hear about your experience in Mexico City.
Look, you know, we have to be very careful about how we talk about things. Mexico City, the show was great. La Mole was great. The fans were wildly enthusiastic. The Mexico people are like huge, great comic fans. That was dope. My wife did get very, very sick. Thus, the trip was sort of awful.
Okay. I will leave it at that. You did go to a pyramid.
I climbed a pyramid. I climbed one of the seven natural wonders of the world, and I weigh over 200 pounds, so I feel like that's a huge achievement.
Because we were asking you last time, are you going to go to the pyramid? And you were like, I don't know. And then you went to the fucking pyramid, and it seemed great.
Can you do more of your Kyle Starks impression?
That wasn't an impression.
That's what I sound like,
Matt,
though.
What's your life look like?
That rock jacket's legit. The people at home don't get to see how legit this rock jacket
Here's
is.
Here's what's buck wild about that.
Jabroni Drive and Know Your Role Avenue.
Here's what's buck wild about that. That has the new WWE logo on it, so that is a currently available product. Yeah.
That is true. I don't know. I feel like that's a custom job.
No, that ain't custom made, brother.
Till 5. Till 5, I said, to a passerby. And they're one of my fans, my mini fans. My legion of fans.
Kyle, what's big Rick and... We talked to Teeny on the show last week about the Rick and Morty fans.
About Rick and Morty's cool aunt, not their stepdaddy.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
We talked about the Rick and Morty fans and, you know, whether they are going to, like, buy anything.
Rick and Morty fans do. Cosplayers, and this show has been an exception, but if you bought your Rick and Morty costume at Spencer's, you're definitely not buying a comic book from the Rick and Morty franchise, Kyle Starks, that's for sure. Comic book franchise, sorry. The comic book franchise.
And was one of those cosplayers one of the people that mistook you for Dan Harmon?
Yes, and I'm not Dan Harmon. Don't say that, it hurts my feelings.
Look, I'm not saying that you do. I'm just reporting an event that occurred.
I'm going to shave my beard off.
I would love to see you without a beard, Kyle.
I look like a jaundiced Pillsbury Doughboy. That's what I look like without a beard.
Kyle, can I tell the fans what you called me in chat the other night when we were talking about country music?
Yes.
Okay, you know how we often talk about Kyle's dialogue on the show? We talk about all our favorite dialogue from Sex Castle, Kill 'Em All that stuff. That's a real-life Kyle Starks. Because the other night, we were trying to talk about country music with Kyle, and he asked us a question that we didn't know the answer to. And Kyle said, of me and Chad, I'm talking to a couple of encyclopedias that only read A through E. If I try to ask about N, they don't know a thing.
It's true.
A couple of encyclopedias that only read A through E. Perfect. Perfect.
I have nothing to say. I said those things.
You're drawing a Jughead boy here?
Drawing a little Jughead for a good boy. This good boy right here. Just walking up to see his Jughead. Thumbs up from him. Yeah, it's been a good show, man. The Carolinas are great. This is an interesting Carolina show.
So this is 4 of 4 for you, right?
This is my fourth show in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I have 1 week off before I go to Chicago.
So what were the last ones? Last week was La Mole?
Last week was La Mole. The week before that was Lexington Toy and Comic Show, which is one of my favorite shows. It's amazing in Lexington, Kentucky. I highly recommend it. And before that was Emerald City. Next week I have Chicago. And then I think 2 weeks after that I go to New Jersey.
The Road Warrior. The Road Warrior Kyle Starks.
The one with the good hair, though, with the mullet. Which one am I?
Wait, neither of the Road Warriors had mullets.
No, he had the Mohawk mullet.
Yeah, that was Animal. Hawk had the, like...
He had, like, the half spiral.
Hawk was like, I'm really bald. But I've got, like, a reverse mohawk.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
With hair on the sides.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I said the other day, I want to be able to go to my hairstylist and say, give me a Road Warrior Animal, and they know what I talk about and do it with no judgment.
I think they should be like, I know what you're talking about, but I'm not going to do it. And then that's the hairdresser you want to go to.
Tom Grummet is here at this show, and I'm going to take a Tom Grummet piece of art of Superboy to my barber next time, and the next time you see me, I will have a skin fade.
Did you guys talk to Tom Grummet?
We did.
He's great.
He's super nice.
We didn't for the show.
Hey, I will tell you something about Tom Grummet. If you go by his table, you will see some pencils. They are literally the tightest pencils I have ever seen in my life.
That guy made Phantasm and Baby Wildebeest.
Yeah.
Those are good characters.
Yeah. He did. Titans Hunt. Kyle, you're getting packed up here.
I'm very popular. It's difficult to be the franchise. It's a real challenge. But I always have time for the War Rocket Ajax babies and all their little baby babies.
Did you get one?
All right, Kyle.
Morty stuff, guys.
All right, Kyle, we'll leave you to it.
All right, the franchise.
The baby babies are out. We'll see you, Kyle. SC Comic Con.
Do you have to announce it at the beginning of every segment?
Yes, because that way you know it's a new segment.
Okay. All right.
And action.
Rico Renzi's here. We're talking with him. Rico, how are you liking the show so far?
It's been very, very crowded. Not very spendy. A little bit more cosplay-y than I am used to, but everybody who has come to visit has been very kind about not buying my things.
You got any Spider-Gwens coming by?
Oh, yes. Little kid Spider-Gwens, old Spider-Gwens. I especially love the children.
The Spider-Gwen babies?
Yes. That would be a good TV series that I would like money for.
Talk about money.
All right, so we talked about this with Jeremy Whitley and a little bit with Alex Smith. Like, what are the draws? What are, like, people who don't really necessarily know your work per se, but something catches their eye and they come over to the table. What's the thing you got that does that?
I don't know. I grew up with my grandmom going to a flea market. She used to sell, like, knockoff sunglasses. So I kind of have that mentality, try to have something for everyone that will catch their eye. People are really liking that Kylo Ren Jepsen t-shirt and the Slayer Buffy t-shirt. That usually brings them over if they're not into comics.
They love those shirts.
Yes, indeed. Put it on your body.
And, like, people who know you, are they coming over generally for Spider-Gwen stuff?
Spider-Gwen, Squirrel Girl, getting stuff signed. Squirrel Girl's been really big at this show, actually.
I've seen a few Squirrel Girl cosplayers.
Me too, yep. They're awesome. The tail is tricky. It's tricky.
Yeah.
I mean, Spider-Gwen's way easier to dress up as. That Squirrel Girl tail takes commitment.
So, Rico, if people only know you as a colorist, like, you're also heavily involved in Heroes Con. Like, you run the show.
Yeah.
What does that give you a perspective on when you go to other shows? Are you, like, are you going to every show with, like, a critical eye? Or are you, like, looking out for stuff you need to change? Or, like, what's it like to be on all sides of the table?
Yeah, it's hard not to look at it as a show promoter. You know, I do shows, and, like, some of them are really well promoted. There's tons of people. Some of them, they're less promoted, and there's not as many people. But, you know, those people are more into comics sometimes than the bigger crowd. So it's tough to be critical of a show. You don't know, like, what they're aiming for necessarily. Like, Heroes is strictly a comic show, so that's what we do.
So yesterday, I know I get the question a lot, like, with books on my table, like, that are not comics but that are books. Hey, did you write these? Are you the author of these? Like, I'm just, like, a book distributor, and I have three books. Chris yesterday got a question about, which one was it, Deadpool?
It was everything on my table.
Everything on your table. Is this fan fiction?
And then when I looked at the guy, he followed up with, I mean, is it sanctioned by Marvel?
So
sanctioned.
So I'm wondering, as a colorist, what's like the weird question you get from people where they like don't necessarily understand what you do?
It's usually like, so you ink this, even after I just told them I color it. I don't know. The fan fiction thing is funny because I think pretty much every Marvel or DC thing at this point is fan fiction. What I mean, so
pretty true.
You just get paid for it. That was what makes it different, I guess. Because that's what we're all doing with these old characters is fan fiction.
Stan and Jack ain't here.
I'm not a fan. I don't like any of this stuff.
We like knives and vapes is what we like.
Rico, let me ask you a question. As a convention organizer, what would you think about at HeroesCon, which is very comics focused? It's our favorite show.
Thank you.
Easily. I mean, we like SC Comic Con. SC Comic Con's great. No shade. I like the Ultimate shows, the Raleigh, and then
it could be warmer in here.
Could be a little warmer. Could be a little quieter, but that's not their fault. It's just a loud ass building.
I mean, it's super cold in here, but it's better than the alternative.
Better than sweating. You could put on a jacket.
Yeah.
What would you think about maybe like dialing back some of the comics content at Heroes and getting more people selling knives and maybe some custom vape rigs?
Last year, I believe we had to shut down two or three weapons dealers who, didn't know what kind of show it was. I think they had some other stuff they could sell, so I think they just loaded up the weapons and put them in their truck and maybe sold the rest through mail order, like you paid at the show. If you're touching people while you're walking around, you shouldn't have any weapons. No sharp stuff.
So, okay, where is that line? I've always wondered this, because I go to, comic conventions, and I'm kind of like, how can they sell that? Where is that line?
Because there's some dudes who just straight sell knives.
Yeah.
And there's other people who have, the wooden swords or keyblades or prop replicas. And a lot of times there's a lot of crossover with that. What's the most realistic weapon you would let somebody get away with?
I guess wooden things. I don't do the vendors. That's Carla Marsh, Carla Southern. She just got married, sorry. Carla Southern does the vendors at HeroesCon, and I just do the artist alley. So as long as you guys, writers and artists, don't bring weapons to sell at your table, then it's out of my jurisdiction.
Chris?
Hey, man, my words are my weapon.
The pen is mightier?
These are registered with the North Carolina state government, these deadly hands.
I feel threatened.
I do too. Rico's all smiles, but you know there's a darkness deep in there.
I'm from D.C., man. It's the hard streets of D.C. But, kids come up and they ask, what tools do you use to make your art? And I say, these, and I hold up my hands.
All right, so say we didn't bring knives. But what if, in addition to the books we had on our tables, we had a sign that said, I could sell you a knife you could vape. Ask me about it.
Vape knives might be the future. It's probably more lucrative than comics.
Oh, Vapor Blade is absolutely the future, and you have the chance to get it on the ground floor with an investment, Rico.
We're going to get Mark Cuban on this.
Sign me up.
I can't believe we're doing a season-long arc on War Rocket Ajax now in the interview segments.
I didn't know Vape Blade was a thing. Vape Blade, that's
copyright
TM?
Copyright us, do not steal.
Okay.
All right, Rico, I'm glad you're having a good show. What do you got coming up? Obviously, you're, one of the most in-demand colorists in the biz.
Well, I'm going to give you guys an exclusive scoop. Are you
exclusive?
Five-issue Quicksilver limited series I am coloring.
Nice.
Who's doing the art on that, Jam?
Eric Nguyen. He used to do Strange Girl with Remender, but he's super awesome. And it's a crazy-looking, mind-messing series. It's freaky.
That sounds cool. I will get into that.
That does sound cool. All right, well, Rico, I hope you have a good rest of the day in this loud, loud room.
And we'll see you at Heroes.
Bye, you guys.
All right, everybody, we hope you enjoyed those interviews. We had fun recording them. We hope there's not too much background noise.
It was a very loud convention.
It was a very loud convention and a very cold show floor.
If you heard Rico, then bless up, because that's a miracle.
Well, I will have done incredible work, because I'm going to do my best to root out the background noise. But, actually, I think the worst one would be when we were trying to talk to, not Rico.
Kyle. It was Kyle.
Yeah, we were trying to talk to Kyle because there was some guy yelling in the background.
Yeah.
Through the whole thing.
Well, but, you know, to be fair, that guy was trying to have a conversation in the noisiest room I've ever been in.
He was not trying to have a conversation. He was yelling orders about how to, like, pack art up or something.
Wow. Okay. So that's our director's commentary for the episode you just heard. Subscribe to Patreon to get more on that. Patreon.com/WarwickandAjax.
All right. So we got to talk. We got directions going because we're doing the drive.
We're doing the drive. We're a couple of road warriors, baby.
Yeah. We're going to LOD, have some dinner.
LOD 2018. That's us.
That's us.
So,
we're
Matt.
We're the draws of a new generation.
Matt, let me ask you a question.
See if you can retrace our steps when you're in Spart- when you're in Greenville.
Go on the tour. This is going to be very valuable if something goes down in the next 3 miles.
It's going to be evidence.
Matt, how's your con? How's your show?
Good. I had a good time.
We were seated
across
for the first time. We've never done a con. We've done plenty of cons together where we weren't seated near each other.
Or far enough apart that we couldn't talk and or otherwise communicate.
Yeah. This con, we were directly across an aisle from each other, and I love the layout for SC Comic Con because the aisles are super wide.
Yeah.
But like, which means we were like about 25 feet away from each other, which means we communicated through texting and facial expressions.
And like, mime. We were miming.
There was a lot of pantomime.
There were people who would walk by the table, and I'd be making a face at you, and they would think I was just making a face.
Maybe that's why I didn't sell anything today.
They thought I was just making a face, and they would be like, they'd be laughing. Like, they think I'm just, like, mugging at my table.
Mean mugging. Haters down.
So, I think we're burying the lead here, Chris. We met star of Robin Hood Men in Tights, Cary Elwes, today.
Yeah, man. We met him.
We also, without knowing who it was, met the star of Highlander the series.
That's right.
Adrian Paul.
A. Paul's was in the house. Connor McLeod of Clay McLeod.
Duncan
McLeod of Clay McLeod. Here's what's great. This is not a celebrity gossip podcast. This is legitimately great. Those two dudes were in the green room watching an Errol Flynn movie on Adrian Paul's phone talking about the best ways to film sword fighting sequences.
Yep, they were talking about editing.
It was amazing.
They were talking about, like, look at the edits in this.
So, yeah, my favorite thing that I heard, and this is great, it's don't plan the fight scene, then go to the location. You go to the location, and then you plan the fight scene around it.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah. Hell yes.
Bobby. They were talking about, like, producers. They were talking about, like, it's amazing how those guys are both, like, definitely in their 50s, right?
They're like the Chris and Matt of sword movies, I think. I feel like Cary Elwes might be a little bit older. I'm the Cary Elwes.
They're definitely in their 50s, right?
Yeah, I would guess.
Not 60s.
Princess Bride was 87, 86.
Cary Elwes could be 60.
He could
possibly.
He'd be a good 60.
Whatever. He's a handsome man. Great hair.
Eyes like laser beams.
Great hair.
Like, he talked to us. He was like, how you guys doing?
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Go ahead.
Okay, they are of a certain age. They're men of a certain age, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're still sitting there, like, talking about Errol Flynn.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean, like, the heroes you admire will be the heroes you admire through your whole life.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Dude, like, it's great because it proves to me that we're all the same deep down inside. Because what they were doing with an Errol Flynn movie is what I've seen, you know, comic creators in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s do with back issues.
It's what we do with Jack Kirby comics.
Yeah. Just being like, going through dollar boxes and pulling something out and being like, hey, man, that's a good book for a dollar. Can you believe they got Batman Annual 14 in here for a dollar?
Yeah. Jack Kirby is like our Errol Flynn.
Yeah.
But then we also have like our lesser heroes or like our unsung heroes that we love to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, that fucking Mike Zeck.
Oh, Mike Zeck, good as hell.
Like, you know, like we'll just bring him up and like, you know, laud him with praise.
Yeah.
And
John Bogdanov, man. Hey, Tom Grummet at the show. If you ever get the chance to see Tom Grummet at a show, flip through his portfolio. His pencils are unbelievable. They are like finished pages.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Like,
Tom Grummet rules.
Barely need to be inked.
Yeah. So Carrie always, we stop in to get a little snack in the green room. Carrie always and Adrian Paul chip broing down over sword fights, which is great.
Like, clearly they know each other pretty well.
They probably do the shows, you know?
I don't know if they do shows together, but, like, they seem to know each other.
Yeah, but so I mean, anyway, they probably run into each other.
So anyway, like, we're sitting over there on the couch. I'm getting a brownie. And Carrie always, like, turns to me and goes, hey, how's your show? Like, he strikes up a conversation with us.
Yeah, well, because I wasn't staring at him, but he happened to look at me right when I was looking at him, and so I caught his eye. So, like, I don't know. I've been overanalyzing this interaction with Carrie Elwes.
He obviously was trying not to make it weird.
Yeah.
He was trying to be friendly. Like, he seems like a nice man.
He does seem nice.
I did make a joke as you were coming out of the bathroom. I don't think he heard it, because I whispered it.
Yeah.
But I was like, Mr. Elwes has been waiting on the bathroom, and you've been in there.
Yeah, that's what I need is more anxiety. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, bro. But yeah, like, because here's the thing. I also didn't want to make it weird, so I didn't want to be like, hey, man, big fan of Poison Ivy. You know?
Of all the movies to pick.
Well, I'm sure, like, look, I'm sure he hears Prince. I'm sure he was hearing fucking
Princess Bride
as you wish all day.
Yeah.
From everybody. And, you know, I feel like Robin Hood Men in Tights is the second.
That would be number two on the list, yeah.
Nobody, and then Saw is the recent one. So you go to Poison Ivy.
That movie was 15 years ago.
Saw that long ago?
Yeah.
Jeepers Christmas.
There are like 12 Saw movies.
I don't know. I don't watch scary movies. Matt, what do I not like?
You don't like scary movies.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, like, so instead of being like, what?
Is that what I'm doing? We're taking a little bit of a break direction time here.
You're going straight across this.
Okay.
I'm not turning right. Yeah.
Okay. So
it's going to be in a mile on the left.
Okay. So his...
1.8 miles, closer to 2.
His eyes meet Chris's.
Uh-huh.
And he says to Chris, how's your show? How you doing? You doing okay? And Chris is like, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, yeah. Then he looks at me and he goes, hey, how are you doing? How's your show? You doing okay? And I go... doing good. You know, I put some Oreos on my table and gave them away for free, and that drew a crowd. And Carrie Elwes, without skipping a beat.
Like this is not at all unusual information for him to hear.
He goes, candy, cookies, it always draws a crowd. Just like pearl of wisdom.
Meanwhile, he's looking at us with these beautiful eyes. That could melt steel beams.
Shock of blonde hair.
Oh. Just looking crisp, you know?
Adrian Paul, meanwhile, sitting in silence.
Yeah. Adrian Paul, a little bit sour that we interrupted his film festival.
We didn't interrupt it. Yeah. We were just sitting there.
Just hanging.
And Carrie Elwes decided to be nice.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, maybe Adrian Paul had a long day. I don't want to cast aspersions.
Anyway, as we were leaving, Carrie Elwes is like, hey, guys, have a great day. And Adrian Paul's like, yeah, bye.
He said to me, he said, hey, have a great day. And then he turned to you and said, hey, have a great day. Yeah. He did it individually, which is weird, but I like it.
He's been talking to enough people today for at $40 a pop that he's given everybody the personal treatment.
Yeah, man. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed meeting him.
Here's the thing, though. Okay, wait. Let's rewind.
Dial it back.
We got to explain the Oreos on the tip. We recorded an episode of Snack Situation.
Yeah, it's on the movie photo sheet. You can go listen to it. That's all the explanation they need.
Well, it won't be up when this episode goes up. It'll be up later in the week.
Okay, then here's a teaser. Matt Wilson ate a bunch of Oreos.
I ate a bunch of Oreos, and they were bad.
We were on an episode of our good friend Lucas Brown's podcast, The Math of You, where we had a little bit of a quiz.
Yeah.
It was like a quiz game, and we agreed that the loser would be the one who had to eat all the flavored Oreos for a snack situation, all the non-standard Oreos.
And I lost.
And Matt lost. So we rolled up this comp with $15 worth of Oreos, with Matt eating a grand total of 8.
Yeah, I ate 8 Oreos, and I felt sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want these anymore. I want to get rid of them. So I put them on the table with a sign. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw a picture of it. It said, free Oreos, take them.
Yeah, period.
And people were, like, coming by and taking the entire bag.
Yeah, somebody, like, rolled up and grabbed that bag of red velvet.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah, those were gone quick. And I wanted to be like, like reap what you sow on that one.
Reap what you sow.
Let's go to the Christmas shop.
Christmas shop, baby.
I need a little Christmas.
Right this very minute.
Oh. Haul out the holly.
So, okay, here's the big thing about Carry Always. We explained the Oreos. I saw a lot of people in Princess Bride t-shirts this weekend.
It's right up here.
Yeah, I know where it is. I saw a lot of people in Princess Bride t-shirts this weekend. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I did not see a person. Mm-hmm. I did not see an individual.
Yep.
With a t-shirt that had the Dread Pirate Roberts on it.
Yep.
I saw t-shirts that had Andre the Giant. And I saw t-shirts that were like Inigo Montoya shit. Andre the Giant's dead. And Mandy Patinkin ain't here.
Mandy Patinkin ain't here.
That's the start. That's the first episode within this episode of our new podcast, Mandy Patinkin ain't here.
Yeah. We were having this conversation and Chad told us that Mandy Patinkin ain't here is a good name for a podcast. And he's right. He's absolutely right. So Mandy Patinkin ain't here.
Mandy Patinkin ain't here, the podcast.
Then I feel like, you know, if you're where, like, look, if you're in line to meet Carrie Elwes and you're going to give him $40 to talk to him for a bit, take a picture, get an 8x10, whatever.
Wear a t-shirt with him on it.
He knows you like The Princess Bride, right? He knows you like it.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, your presence is well, like, a proof of it, you know? You don't have to, like, rep the thing. But if you're going to rep the thing, you should probably rep the thing with him on it.
You know what we should... If we had to actually talk to Carrie Elwes about, like, stuff, you know what we should have asked him about? He's in that
Poison
new
Ivy?
Andre the... Yeah, Poison Ivy. He's in that new Andre the Giant documentary.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He gets interviewed in it.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about Andre, like, working with Andre.
Yeah.
That would... Ah, fuck, now I'm mad.
Man, you know, like, if I would have thought about it, I would have asked that dude about, like... Because here's the thing, like, it's a Princess Bride question, right?
Yeah.
Princess Bride got a killer cast. I'd be like, hey, man, what was, like, Christopher Guest like, you know? Like, what was it like hanging out with Christopher Guest and Andre the Giant at the same time? Because you're, like, the only people who have ever done that were on the set of that movie.
That's true.
Yeah. They didn't, those dudes weren't bros.
I don't think they interacted.
According to the Andre the Giant biography, they did. Christopher Guest and Andre.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, according to Box Brown's book.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh. That, like, would be an interesting thing to find out. I wonder, yeah.
I know Robin Wright Penn, Robin Wright, I guess, now?
Yeah.
She's
also interviewed in the Andre.
She's also interviewed in the documentary. I've seen her in the trailer. Man, we really biffed it.
We missed our opportunity. But, like, we only had that split second.
Yeah, and you did, like, I would rather not make him work.
Yeah.
While he's trying to hang out.
I was trying very hard to just talk to him in a normal... hey, how are you doing kind of way. Yeah. And I brought up the Oreo thing because I was like, this is not about you or your work. This is, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
It's like when I met David Faustino.
Mm-hmm.
David Faustino from Married with Children.
Yeah, I'm familiar with him.
At San Diego Comic-Con.
From Avatar The Legend of Korra.
Yeah. I met him in the elevator at San Diego Comic-Con.
That's a nice cast.
It is a nice cast.
Janet Varney was, like, really nice when I met her.
Super nice. I met her very briefly after I got out of the car.
Uh-huh.
Or I got out of the elevator. But I was on the elevator with David Faustino, and he goes, how you doing, man? And I'm like, good. My foot hurts. And we just talked about how my foot hurt.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you're asking that dude to talk about Princess Bride, you're making him work.
You gotta pay $40.
And like, he's on his break. He's on his break. Don't make the man work on his break.
You gotta pay $40.
So just to say, how's your day going? I didn't even tell him I like Princess Bride, which I do. It's a very good movie.
It's a real good movie. I like most of the things I've seen him in.
He's good.
Except for Saw.
I'm not a fan of scary movies, so I haven't seen it. I'm sure he's fine. That's it. That's our report from the con. SC Comic Con was great. If you're in the area, come to it.
Yeah, come to Greenville next year and come to the show.
Yeah, I think our next con's not till May, so back to normal episodes next week, everybody.
What's the con in May?
The podcast con.
Right, podcast con.
Yeah.
We gotta announce that on the show, I guess, pretty soon.
Yeah.
Podcast con.
Yeah.
It's happening in Ohio.
And me and Matt are going to take, like, a 12-hour road trip there and back. And we're going to get... You guys... We're going to BOKO for a year.
You're going to get a day... A solid day of BOKO.
Yeah. We're just going to leave it running.
24-hour BOKO.
Because you know what? We're funny as fuck.
What? We're going to be listening to a podcast, and you're just going to hear the entire run of that podcast.
Yeah. I hope you like My Favorite Murder.
You're going to be listening to an episode of Good Christian Fun, and it's just going to be on there.
Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hartstar are going to be making some jokes. And then you're just going to hear me and Matt go, That was funny. Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
They are clever.
They're very good. They're students of the game.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with a regular ass episode, as we said. And I'll record a little rundown, like, into the show thing when I put this up, so I won't do it here. But we'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye, everybody. We love you.
Hey, everybody. As promised, your old pal Matt is here with some wrap-up material for this episode of War Rocket Ajax, number 395. If you would like to get in touch with our program, you can do so at warrocketpodcast@gmail.com. That is where you can send every story ever lists, panel president lists. If you want to sponsor the show, you can let us know there. Or if you just want to drop us a line about something else, you can also ask us questions on our Tumblr, which is warrocketpodcast.tumblr.com. Also, check out our website, which is warrocketajax.com. That is where you can stream the show, download the show, read show notes, and leave comments. It's where the every story ever and panel president lists reside. It's our website. It's our hub, you might say. Speaking of hubs, wherever you listen to podcasts, be that Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or elsewhere, you should go rate our show on those places. Give us a good 5 stars. Help us get out in front of more people. That way we build the audience and we get to do more stuff as a result of that. Now I've reached the part of the show where I can tell you where you can find me and Chris online. For Chris, all you have to do is go to the-isb.com to find links to all his stuff. For me, you can go to mattdwilson.net to find links to all my stuff. Also, while we were at South Carolina Comic Con, SC Comic Con in Greenville, South Carolina, a lot of people marched for a huge, big cause trying to end gun violence in schools and more generally as well. If you go to marchforourlives.com, you can donate to that organization that organized those marches. You can help in other ways as well. Go check out that website. It is a good cause that is worthy. That's going to do it, everybody, for this episode of War Rocket Ajax. We will be back next week, as promised, with a regular-ass episode. This one, however, was HQC. And it was S rank. See you next week, everybody. We love you.
Yeah! It's for every one of us. It's not for every one of us. It's time for the body, and every man, every woman, every child, every body, and flash.
We are everything to Flash.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.